Hello, welcome to Chris Sports. I'm Chris Kelly, and today I'm reading from the Thursday, March 28th, 2024, Hartford Current Sports section. Looking at the photographs on the front page of the sports, we have a picture of Juan Soto, player for the Yankees, fouling a pitch off as the Yanks open today, the 2024 season, against the Astros. That'll be on YES at 3:10. Meanwhile, the Red Sox will play the Mariners at 10:10 tonight on NESN. Two photographs from UConn basketball. One has a picture of Coach Hurley standing between Tristan Newton and just doesn't list the guys' names. Alex Carabon. They're taking some jump shots, and he's observing. In another photograph, Carabon is dribbling two basketballs, showing off at the site where they'll play in Boston, San Diego State. Let's look at the preview of the Sweet 16 games that'll be happening. We got San Diego State, which is 26-10. They were 13-8 in the MWC conference against UConn, 33-3, 21-2 in the Big East. It'll be 7:30 tonight at the TD Garden in Boston, and it'll be on TBS/True. It says, I don't know if that means it'll be on both of them, or they still haven't decided which one it'll be on. UConn's a 10.5-point favorite. Rematch of last season's national championship game pits number one overall seed Huskies against fifth-seeded Aztecs. UConn makes 49.8% of its shots from the field this season, which is 9.5 percentage points higher than San Diego State has allowed to its opponents, 40.3%. And the other game from Boston tonight will be Illinois. They're 28-8 against Iowa State, 29-7. That'll be a 10 o'clock start. And it'll be on the same channel. Iowa State is a 1.5-point favorite. Iowa State's average of 6.7 made field goal or three-pointers per game this season is 0.5% more shots made on average than the 6.2 per game Illinois gives up. Illinois score 23.3 more points per game than Iowa State allows to opponents. This Illini's first Sweet 16 appearance in 19 years. And the headline this morning, a reason to make her proud. Ahead of Sweet 16, Donovan Klingon reflects on his late mother's impact. Donovan Klingon sat at the dais in Boston's TD Garden on Wednesday, his sole focus on the next day's Sweet 16 matchup with San Diego State. He was peppered with questions about NIL and betting and all of the things that have marred the current college sports landscape, and answered no comment to most of them, reiterating his focus. But one question about the significance of the day, March 27th, caused the UConn star to reflect on his love for basketball. It means a lot. 6 years ago today, I lost my mom. That changed my life forever, Klingon said. His mother, Stacy Perini Klingon, was a star basketball player at Bristol Central and then at the University of Maine, a Hall of Famer in both places she played. She died of breast cancer on March 27, 2018, at age 42, when Donovan was in eighth grade. I really wasn't the biggest fan of basketball. I loved it and enjoyed playing it, but really when she passed, it made me realize how much I love basketball and gave me a reason why to be great. Just gave me a reason to go, he said. She was a big basketball player at Maine and had a great career. Instead of going to the WNBA, she wanted to have kids and be a mom. She had me and my sister, and I just try to live her name through the game. Klingon wears number 32, which was recently retired at UConn for Richard Rip Hamilton, in her honor. It just gave me a reason to make her proud and gave me a way to represent her and feel like I still had an attachment to her, he said. She was the best mom anyone could ask for, and she influenced me in so many ways. I'm just hoping to make her proud. Klingon went on to have his own legendary career at Bristol Central, opting to stay home rather than answer several calls to prep schools. He chose to stay home again when it came time for a college decision. He chose UConn, where he is hoping to win a second national title before his seemingly inevitable call to the NBA. Klingon's postseason performance is certainly something to be proud of. The 7'2" sophomore averaged 13.7 points, 9.3 rebounds, and 2.7 blocks throughout the Big East tournament, where he had 22 points and 16 rebounds in the championship game. He had 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists in UConn's first-round blowout of 16 seed Stetson. And let's see, 14 blocks, 14 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 blocks against 9 seed Northwestern, a stat line that only 3 players have ever put together in the tournament: Klingon, David Robinson, and Hakeem Olajuwon. Donovan is just a unique personality. It's just rare to see somebody that has dealt with what he has dealt with, the heartbreaking tragedy, and then has his personality that he has. He's so alive, and he's so vibrant, and he brings so much personality. He's a total giver. He's just a special, unique human being, UConn coach Dan Hurley said. Even how he handled the way he was raised by his parents and the community of Bristol, how it didn't let him get too big for his britches. Even the way he handled last year at the end of the season, he would have been a top 20 pick, knew he wasn't ready. Literally the next day, he just came in and said, "Hey, coach, I'm not ready. Let's run it back." There wasn't a meeting with the agent, a series of drama. He's a special kid. Alex Caravan grew up in Southborough, Mass., about an hour west of Boston's TD Garden, where he played several times in AAU and high school events growing up. Expecting a large number of family and friends to be in attendance for Thursday's Sweet 16 game, his parents and program assistant Chris Mantergelo have handled ticket distribution duties so he can remain focused. "Really, it's off my shoulders. Whoever comes to the game, it's up to them," Caravan said. "They want me to focus on San Diego State, and that's my main priority. I think it's special just because it's in Boston, so maybe a little bit of a homecoming being back in Massachusetts. But I know a bunch of family and friends, whenever they get an opportunity to come to UConn, it's only like an hour or so drive for them. It'll be nice to see them, but I think I care much more about winning this game tomorrow." Most five-star recruits are counted on to be the guy when they get to college, not Stephon Castle, who joined a roster of national champions. "Even when I'm not having the best game, we have other great players on our team. We have an All-American on our team, Tristan Newton. We have guys like Klingon that can go get it on any given night," Castle said. "To have that in your back pocket and just know what kind of skill set and the kind of coach that you're playing for, it just gives you a lot of confidence going into these games, knowing that a defense has 4 or 5 guys that they have to stop every single night. That makes us the best team in the country." Castle earned his starting spot once he got to Storrs, but he's the team's 5th leading scorer, 10.8 per game, and can sometimes be looked over on the offensive end. Defensively, he's the team's best perimeter defender and has a pro-level frame that allows for versatility. He will, more likely than not, be an NBA lottery pick in June, a top 12 recruit. Mock drafts like Bleacher Report on Wednesday project the 6'6 guard to be selected as high as the 6th overall pick, and he's fit in perfectly with UConn's loaded roster. "It's been super valuable to have those guys, key guys that have done it before, that can help you through struggles," he said. "And even when you're playing great, you know that they're always there with you." The National Bobblehead Hall of Fame is unveiling a new officially licensed bobblehead that features the Husky mascot Jonathan dancing on a basketball court on Thursday. The Sweet 16 features each of the top 8 teams in the bracket, every number 1 and number 2 seed, for the first time since 2019. It's the 7th lowest seed total of any Sweet 16, 53, since the seeding began in 1979. With a win, UConn would become the first reigning national champion to advance to the Elite 8 since Florida won back-to-back championships in 06-07. National title rematch gets even sweeter. San Diego State cut UConn's lead to 5 with just over 5 minutes left in Houston, and Jordan Hawkins, as he often did, ran around the screens from Alex Caravan and Adama Sanogo to catch the ball on the move at the left wing and heave it toward the basket. "I was a little late, but I was still on his hip, and I got hit with 2 screens, and I still contested the shot, and he hit a good shot, so credit to him," San Diego State guard Lamont Butler recalled Wednesday as he prepares for a rematch against the Huskies in Boston. "Hopefully this year they don't hit that shot. That three-pointer turned all momentum back to the Huskies as they closed out the Aztecs to win national title number 5. Of course, Hawkins is gone now, and so are Sanogo and Andre Jackson. For San Diego State, Butler is one of 4 returners who were among the team's top 6 scorers last season. The Aztecs also lost 3 starters in Matt Bradley, Nathan Mensah, and Kashad Johnson. This year, it could be Cam Spencer or Alex Caravan or Tristan Newton, who had a 19-point, 10-rebound double-double in that title game, to come around and hit that type of shot. But the Huskies, who have beaten 29 of their 30 non-conference opponents over the last 2 seasons by double digits, hope it doesn't come to that. We know how hard it is, and as much as UConn ran through the tournament last year, dominated pretty much everybody, we felt with 5 minutes to go, it was a 5-point game, we put ourselves with a chance to win, said Coach Brian Dutcher. So hopefully Thursday, we'll do the same thing. Hopefully with 5 minutes to go in the game, we'll have an opportunity to win. Jaden Ledee, a 6'9" forward who scored 7 points in 18 minutes off the bench in the title game, has stepped into Bradley's role as the team's number one option. The only Aztec in double-figure scoring, Ledee has upped his production from 7.9 per game in 18 minutes last year to 21.5 points in 32 minutes this season, while leading the team in rebounds, 8.4. Ledee is also a top three-point shooter on the roster at 45%. In the postseason alone, Ledee has been on the top of his game, averaging 27.8 points over 5 games since the start of the Mountain West Conference tournament. It could have been anybody. It could have been UConn. It could have been Kentucky. It could have been boys or girl scouts. It don't matter, Ledee said. Just being here in the position is a blessing. For us to be together and have fun and enjoy this game is a blessing. The Aztecs, in their 7th season under head coach Brian Dutcher, finished 5th in the Mountain West standings and were one of 6 teams from the conference to earn an NCAA tournament bid after losing to New Mexico in the conference tournament final. After taking down 12-seed UAB and 13-seed Yale in Spokane, they are the only Mountain West team to make it out of the first weekend. Obviously, coming back from that game last year, we have both gotten to this game again. A lot of respect for San Diego State and Coach Dutcher and their culture. I think it's an awesome matchup, UConn coach Dan Hurley said. The Huskies enter Thursday's game after a historically successful regular season that featured dual championships in the Big East and blowout wins over 16-seed Stetson and 9-seed Northwestern in Brooklyn. A win on Thursday would tie a program record for wins in a season set by the 99 championship team with 34. While San Diego State flew across the country to get to Boston, UConn got to stay on the East Coast, only having to drive about an hour and a half northeast to TD Garden. This wasn't some gift by the committee to try to make it easy as possible for us. We've earned our position, Hurley said. We've manifested Brooklyn to Boston since really April, since last year when we won the championship. We've worked incredibly hard over that time period to earn the opportunity to play in front of hopefully a 60% UConn type of crowd. Hopefully Illinois fans stay away and Iowa State fans don't get involved. Take a look at the weather forecast.
Join us Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2:30 p.m. for the Reader's Digest on Chris.
The forecast for this evening is cloudy with rain likely, low around 38. Friday will start off cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 51. Mostly clear Friday evening with a low around 33. Saturday will be sunny with a high near 54. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 36. And Sunday, which is Easter, looks to be partly sunny with a high near 56. Partly cloudy that evening with a low around 34. Have a great day, and thanks for listening to Chris.
Taking a look at what's on the air today in sports, college baseball at 7 o'clock. LSU at Arkansas on ESPN2. For Major League Baseball opening day, at 4 o'clock, the Yankees at Houston on YES and Radio 97.9. At 7:30, the Cubs at Texas on ESPN. And at 10 o'clock, Boston at Seattle on NESN and Radio 1080. College basketball at 4:30, the other semifinal on CBSSN West Texas A&M versus Minnesota State at 7 o'clock from the NCAA tournament. Clemson versus Arizona on CBS at 7:30. San Diego State versus UConn on TBS and True TV. At 9:30, Alabama versus North Carolina on CBS. And at 10 o'clock, Illinois versus Iowa State on TBS and True TV. In the NBA at 7:30, Boston at Atlanta on NBCSB. And at 8 o'clock, Milwaukee at New Orleans on NBA TV. Golf, all of this is on the Golf Channel. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Texas Children's Houston Open. And at 7 o'clock, the LPGA Ford Championship. And then tomorrow morning at 3:30, back to the Hero Indian Open. Men's college hockey, as they're in their tournament. At 5 o'clock, Rochester versus BU. That UMass game is on ESPN2. The Rochester-BU game is on ESPNU. At 5:30, Cornell versus Maine on ESPN News. And at 8:30, Omaha versus Minnesota on ESPNU. In the NHL at 9 o'clock, the Rangers at Colorado on MSG. From the Yankees, veteran Birdie added in three-team trade, Rovet sent to division rival Rays. The Yankees finally addressed their bench on Wednesday, acquiring John Birdie a day before their season opener in Houston. Birdie was acquired from the Marlins, who received Yankees outfield prospect John Cruz in the trade. The Rays, one of the Yankees' divisional rivals, were also involved. They acquired Yankee catcher Ben Rorvet and sent outfield prospect Shane Sasaki to Miami. News of the three-team swap was first reported by MLB.com. Birdie, a right-handed hitter, gives the Yankees versatility and a capable bat off the bench or a stopgap at third base, with DJ LeMahieu starting the season on the injured list. LeMahieu spent the end of spring training recovering from a significant bone bruise after falling a ball off his right foot. Birdie slashed .294, .344, .405 over a career-high 133 games last year. As Quinnipiac strives to repeat, chip on the shoulder remains. Up next, Quinnipiac versus Wisconsin, 5:30 on Friday in Providence. That'll be on ESPN News. Getting to the top is hard, especially in a sport with entrenched powers. But Quinnipiac made it to the zenith in college men's hockey, and their new lavish players' lair is adorned with the trophies and memories of the national championship season. Now the task, which can be more difficult, is staying there. The Bobcats made it back to the NCAA's Field of 16 and begin the quest to repeat with a first-round game against Wisconsin on Friday, 5:30, at the Amica Mutual Pavilion in Providence. Is repeating more difficult? I don't think I can answer that yet because we haven't tried, Coach Rand Pecknold said. It has definitely been a little different. We've been top 10 for a while, so we know teams are kind of gunning for us, but it's a little bit more as defending the champs. The Bobcats, 26-9-2, lost to St. Lawrence in the ECAC semifinals and finished ninth in the pairwise ratings. But then again, they lost in the conference tournament last year before winning a string of thrilling NCAA games, beating Michigan and Minnesota at the Frozen Four. To get out of the regional and reach the 24 Frozen Four in St. Paul, Quinnipiac will again have to get past historic hotbeds of hockey, Wisconsin, second in the Big Ten, and then likely top-seeded Boston College, one of four Hockey East schools in the field. That would be Sunday at 4. The defending champs may have targets on their backs, but still play with an underdog's edge. From the In Brief, Wizards and Capitals agree to deal to stay in D.C. Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser and Ted Leonis, owner of the NBA's Wizards and NHL's Capitals, finalized a deal Wednesday that, if approved by the city council, will keep the teams downtown until 2050, ending a planned move to Northern Virginia. From baseball, the Dodgers and catcher Will Smith agreed to a 10-year, $140 million contract extension. NCAA President Charlie Baker is urging states with legal wagering on sporting events to ban betting on individual player performances. Prop bets allow gamblers to wager on stats a player will accumulate during a game. And from the NFL, free agent pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney agreed to a contract with the Panthers. He was the number one overall pick in 2014. and the contract looks like $24 million a year. There's plenty left to find out. Only a week has passed since the Dodgers abruptly fired Ipe Mizuhara, the interpreter and constant companion of their new $700 million slugger, Shohei Ohtani. But the biggest story of baseball spring is still murky and shocking as the regular season begins in earnest Thursday. The scandal encompasses gambling, alleged theft, extensive deceit, and the breakup of an enduring partnership between the major's biggest star and his right-hand man. Investigations are underway by the IRS and Major League Baseball, and Ohtani publicly laid out a version of events Monday that placed the responsibility entirely on Mizuhara. Here are the basics. Why was Mizuhara fired? Ohtani claims his close friend repeatedly took money from his accounts to fund his illegal sports gambling habit. Ohtani also says he was completely unaware of the massive theft, as his lawyers termed it, until Mizuhara confessed to him and the Dodgers last week in South Korea, where the team opened its regular season against the Padres. Mizuhara has given more than one version of his path to trouble, which was catalyzed by the IRS's investigation of Matthew Bauer, a alleged illegal bookmaker. Did Ohtani bet on sports? That's the biggest question to be answered in MLB's investigation. The two-time AL MVP emphatically says he has never gambled on sports or asked anybody to bet on sports for him. Further, Ohtani said Monday that he has never knowingly paid a bookie to cover somebody else's bets. Mizuhara also said Ohtani does not bet, and Bauer's attorney said the same. MLB's investigation of Ohtani's role in the events could last weeks or months, and it's unlikely to be publicized until it's complete. Major questions loom. How did Mizuhara have enough access to Ohtani's bank accounts to get the alleged millions without Ohtani knowing? Is the slugger overly trusting, or is he wildly negligent in managing his vast fortune, which includes years of lavish endorsement deals in addition to his baseball salaries? Why didn't the team around him, including his agent, do more to prevent the possibility of the theft he claims? Finally, where is Mizuhara? He was fired in South Korea and apparently didn't travel home with the Dodgers. Japanese media have visited his home in Southern California to look for him. Starters for the locals today. For the Yankees, Cortez. Let's see, last year he had a 2.25 ERA in four innings pitched against Valdez of Houston. Let's see, apparently didn't pitch versus the Yankees last year. The Red Sox have Bello opening for them. Last year against Seattle, he was 2-0 with a 4.09 earned run average against Seattle. Against Castillo, who was 0-1 with a 9 ERA against the Red Sox last year. And the Mets have not announced their starting pitcher today, nor have their opponent, Milwaukee. Also from the front page of the sports section this morning, from the Yankees, club counting on more than Judge Soto to revive offense. Before he could even open his mouth, Juan Soto made quite the statement when he stepped to the podium for a press conference at the start of spring training. The slugger, the centerpiece of the Yankees offseason, wore a shirt that read, "The Generational Juan Soto." While bold, it served as an apt attire for a 25-year-old destined for generational wealth next winter. Soto is bound to test free agency after the season, as Scott Boras' clients typically do. The Yankees knew that when they sent a five-player pitcher-centric package to the Padres in December, but they determined the juice to be worth the squeeze after a disastrous 2023 campaign that could be partly blamed on an underachieving, injured-riddled offense. "We understand that he's a free agent at the end of this season," Brian Cashman said after acquiring Soto. "We understand that it's a possibility that this is a short-term situation." Soto has maintained that he will let his agent handle his business. He just wants to focus on the field. "I'm here to play baseball," Soto said. "I'm focusing on playing this year and trying to win as much as we can and bring a championship to New York." And to the Red Sox, why Rodriguez was only lefty to make the cut. The Red Sox will open the season with 12 right-handed pitchers and one lefty, 32-year-old journeyman Jolie Rodriguez. At a time in baseball when teams relentlessly pursue advantageous matchups with their relievers, it's an unusual configuration. It's not that the team lacked candidates. They opened the camp with eight lefties on the roster, including four on the 40-man roster: Brennan Berandino, Joe Jacques, Chris Murphy, and Brandon Walter, but only Rodriguez survived despite putting 15 runners on base over eight innings. He exercised an opt-out in his contract last week, forcing the Red Sox to make a decision on a status. They elected to keep Rodriguez on the major league roster rather than let him walk. Bernardino pitched 6 1/3 scoreless innings, putting five runners on base and striking out five in seven games, but he had a minor league option remaining, and they chose to demote him to AAA Worcester. "It's just another bump in the road," Bernardino said Tuesday. "I'll do what I have to do and hopefully get back there," said manager Alex Cora. "Opening day is special, and people are disappointed when they're not going to be there, but yeah, you just have to push and do your job wherever you go and come back to this environment." Cora went through similar situations during his playing career as a manager, and he puts the emotions aside in favor of what's best for the team in the long run. "I'm past that. I've been in those shoes," Cora said. Well, that's the latest from the sports world. I'm Chris Kelly. I've been reading from the Thursday, March 28th, 2024, Hartford Current Sports section. Have a great day.